Wild Missions original podcast.
Singapore is one of the smallest countries on the planet, and its rapid rise from a small trading settlement to a bustling modern metropolis has destroyed 95% of its historical forests, driving the extinction of many species of animals. The islands were once home to the Malayan tiger and the Indo-Chinese leopard, and today there is just one species of wildcat left in Singapore. The leopard cat. Whilst the leopard cat may be relatively common in some other countries, for Singaporeans, protecting this cat, their last wildcat, is incredibly important. So in this episode, we're going to meet Vilma de Rosario and Marcus Chua from the community-run Singapore Wildcat Action Group to learn more about the leopard cat and how they engage Singaporeans to help protect and save their last wildcat. I'm Andy Varvel, and this is Cats of the Wild, episode 29, The Last Wildcat of Singapore. I'm incredibly lucky to be chatting with not one, but two people who are absolutely passionate about the leopard cat in Singapore.
Hi.
This is Vilma de Rosario.
I'm co-director of the Singapore Wildcat Action Group.
And this is Marcus Chua.
I work at the Lee Kong Chian Natural History Museum in Singapore, and I am a mammal researcher, and I also did some work on leopard cats in Singapore.
Now, Marcus is being a bit modest here. By all accounts, he is the Mr. Leopard Cat of Singapore.
Marcus is very key to our work because he is the only one so far who has done research on leopard cat in Singapore. We are leopard cat lovers and we do the outreach now, but we don't really know as much as Marcus.
The idea for the Singapore Wildcat Action Group started in the forests of Malaysia during a very special type of walk.
All the members who founded SWAG had met on a catwalk, and catwalk stands for Citizen Action for Tigers. Walk, you know, sort of low impact guided nature walk in the forest in Pahang, looking for threat against wildlife like snares and traps.
These catwalks are arranged by the Malaysian Conservation Alliance for Tigers, or MICAT for short. And I know personally, it's an experience I'm really looking forward to doing one day.
So it's a tiger conservation program that MICAT runs. And those of us who formed SWAG all met at various times during a catwalk and wanted to do more. So we got together, discussed, and we thought that, well, if we form a group and register ourselves as a non-profit, maybe we could do more, not only for tigers, but wildcats of the world. That's very ambitious. But actually, we focus mainly on leopard cat and the Malayan tiger.
Both Vilma and Marcus have had a lifelong passion for wildlife. And for Marcus, it was sparked by his natural curiosity.
I was always interested in wildlife, just looking at them, learning, wanting to learn more about them, the natural world. I think there's so much to discover. And using that knowledge in turn to try to help them in terms of conservation or to allow people to appreciate them better. I think all this feeds into the love for nature and trying to be a better global citizen. And for mammals, it's a group that I think that I relate to them the most. And it's also the group that it's most threatened in terms of larger mammals, because in Singapore, when we lose habitats, the larger species get wiped out first. So this is the group that I think that in terms of studying them will also help them and other creatures that depend on the habitat as well.
As for Vilma, her research interests are actually in psychology, but this hasn't stopped her from using her spare time to further her interest in Singapore's biodiversity and wildcats.
Well, I would say that I was always interested in wildlife, and the leopard cat is very elusive. You know, my friends and I used to go to Malaysia to look for leopard cats, and we never saw one very rarely. You know, it took many, many, many years. And then we saw, and then I had never seen leopard cats in Singapore. So yeah, I had always wanted to see a leopard cat, just like I wanted to see like a pangolin and everything else.
Marcus and Vilma are incredibly lucky to have seen a leopard cat in the wild in Singapore. Vilma spotted her first leopard cat 10 years ago when she tagged along with Marcus in the field as a research assistant.
This was a great opportunity, you know, to help someone who's doing a study on it. I would never have got the chance because I'm totally different career in psychology, but always loved wildlife. And this was, you know, really very good opportunity to go to different places in Singapore where leopard cats live. And yeah, so I grabbed it. Yeah, and without any expertise. So Marcus, you know, just took anybody who didn't mind like sleeping overnight in the forest or in, you know, some army shed or not sleeping. Yeah, it was wonderful. So this was my first walk in this area that is actually very near my workplace. There was Marcus, myself, and one other assistant. And Marcus said, oh, leopard cat. He had seen eyeshine in a tree. And I think probably all three of us had never seen a leopard cat in a tree before. And for me, it was like, where, you know? And seeing this young leopard cat in a tree about 1.5 meters from the ground, it was really magic. We were all so excited and yeah, actually exclaiming. I remember sitting on the ground, all of us sat on the ground and everybody was taking photos and our friend was taking a video, and that video is very special. I still have that video. So, and that leopard cat just stood there, you know, on the branch of a tree and looked at us for quite a while. I think one full minute. And then it slowly walked away. It didn't even run away. And we were like, wow. And this was the first survey in this area for me. And I think for Marcus too. So it was like, we were so lucky. And it was like in the beginning of the survey. So it was fantastic. So that's, you know, one of the great experiences I had seeing a leopard cat in Singapore.
For me, I spent tens of hours before my study in the wild observing leopard cats in the Singapore Zoo just to get a search image so that if I see a, I know what to look out for in the field. So I was just watching two leopard cats in front of an enclosure for hours at a time to see how they moved, what they do when they rest. I was just fixated there. So when I eventually started my survey, for many, many trips out, we didn't see a leopard cat at all. And it was only on 1st April, it was in 2011, going through this part of the forest in the Central Catchment Nature Reserve during a night survey, that I met up with this electric eyeshine in the forest. It was huge on the ground, and it was like a color that it's not typical of any other forest mammals at that time that we've seen. So we get closer, we realize that, hey, this is a spotted animal, yellow in color. What else could it be? And it was just on a stump, maybe about human waist height. And it was just sitting there observing us, observing it. And of course, we didn't want to spook the leopard cat that we've not seen before in a forest. So we went closer and closer. We crept, allowed it to get used to our presence. And because it didn't seem to perturb, we just went closer and closer. We got photos along the way, and we managed to get so close to it that it was maybe less than 5 meters away from us. And we just watched it move from one branch to another, sit down, look at us and again. Yeah, and that was our experience with the April Fool's leopard cat, because it was seen on 1st April. And I was just talking to my assistant that, hey, is anyone going to believe us? Because we saw it on 1st April. And I sent that image to managers of the national parks, to my advisors, and saying, hey, this is not an April Fool's joke, that's a preface, and that we saw this leopard cat. And this is the first leopard cat seen in Singapore alive for more than 2 or 3 decades.
To really understand the state of wildlife in Singapore today, we first have to rewind and understand the history of modern Singapore. Before Singapore became a British colony in 1819, the island was almost entirely covered in rainforest. As primary forests were cleared for plantations, there was a rise in so-called tiger attacks, as Chinese plantation workers were easy targets. It was estimated that at least 200 people each year were killed due to tigers, and even one village was completely abandoned due to overwhelming tiger attacks.
Development of the island started very rapidly. So first was deforestation for timber, for agriculture. And that wiped out over 90% of the original forest in a matter of decades. And with that rapid deforestation, tigers went extinct. So it was a 1-2 punch. Not only was habitat lost, they were hunted as well. So were many of the prey species that they depended on. Other than that, forest-dependent species such as birds, phasmids, stick insects, butterflies have also followed in terms of extinction. So there is a study that was done in the 2000s that was titled Catastrophic Extinction in Singapore Followed Deforestation. It is, in that study, they estimated about 50% of the species that depend on forests in Singapore are extinct. And this is not counting the extinction that will follow beyond that.
With the extinction of the tiger and leopard, the leopard cat is now one of the island's top predators, along with the reticulated python. Ecosystems are a fine balance, and scientists like Marcus are worried about what could happen if Singapore was to lose any more predators.
From research on leopard cat's diet on the island of Pekong, we found that leopard cats mostly fed on rats, but they also feed on lizards, birds, and frogs. So if the leopard cat was not present in the ecosystem, there could be less of a top-down predation impact on these smaller animals, which could have what we call in ecology a cascading effect. So if you remove something that is exerting a predation impact on below them in the food chain, so the numbers of this animal such as lizards, rats, birds could multiply, and this could in turn impact whatever they feed on lower down in the food chain. So this could cause an unbalanced ecosystem, and this would certainly impact any sort of stability that there is in the ecosystem. We could move things in another direction. So yeah, things could cascade and change quite rapidly, down to the fact that plants in the ecosystem could change, and this could in turn cause other kinds of cascades or other kinds of impact for other species that we don't know. So it's important for all these components in the ecosystem to remain in balance so that there is stability in the ecosystem.
So Singapore is now in this desperate race against time to protect what existing habitat and biodiversity remain on the island. And one of the key projects for the Singapore Wildcat Action Group is to engage Singaporeans about the leopard cat, as many don't even know about their presence.
I would say most Singaporeans do not know about a leopard cat. They don't know we have a leopard cat. They don't know that we had tigers living in Singapore and leopards as well. So sometimes it's a big shock that, you mean we have leopard cat? And then what's a leopard cat? You know, you mean we had tigers? So lots of people don't know. It's very interesting. We have been talking with people who live on one of the islands, Pulau Ubin, I think it's okay to say. And, you know, we've been talking with some of the islanders and they've never seen a leopard cat. And these are more senior islanders. Never seen a leopard cat. We showed them the photograph. The general man in the street or woman in the street would not know, I think. That's my feeling. I don't know. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, I think the amazing thing about wildcats is that because they're so shy and elusive, they can live alongside us and people don't know about it. So I think the important thing is to let people know that they exist and they can coexist with us. And what they're actually doing, they're providing an ecosystem service, which is they are either a missile predator, a medium-sized predator or a top predator. And they're keeping the ecosystem in balance in terms of hunting smaller animals, feeding on them. And I think it is some of these rare sightings that of people, they could be naturalists or they could be just people walking around on islanders at night, but seeing one and just witnessing their beauty, and that could actually make their day, or it could be the most interesting sighting in their lives. So talking about Ubin Island and people sighting them during the pandemic, So during the pandemic, there's been people that have been using the island for recreation. One of them was just paddling around the island on a kayak, and they saw a leopard cat when he was resting. Witnessed the leopard cat having its breakfast. Like, it was the first view of the leopard cat. And he was basically watching the leopard cat eat for about 5 minutes. And when the leopard cat eventually left, he went to the spot where the leopard cat was, and he saw that, like, the head of the rat. Another sighting on the island was when someone was fishing, and when he turned around, he noticed there was a leopard cat just on the road, moving into the forest fragment next to the road. And it is these sightings, or I call them citizen scientists, because they contribute such useful records of leopard cats on the island, that we know more about their presence on the island and what they're doing and where they can be found.
The last population estimate for the leopard cat was completed in 2012. And it found that on an offshore island of Singapore, Tekong Island, that there was about 21 adult individuals, with a further 25 estimated to be on the main island of Singapore.
So the total population of Singapore is probably about 50 or less. So that is really a small number. The most pressing issue for leopard cats in Singapore is the small habitat that they have there, small forested areas, and the fragmentation, because these are not connected. Based on the plans for Singapore in the future, they are studying the most important connections between important habitats. And I think with good city planning and creative landscaping in Singapore, there is a chance where major forested fragments in Singapore can be connected. And I hope that would happen in our lifetime, because the leopard cats do not have that much time with such a small population. We're lucky that beyond Singapore, we're connected to forested areas, southern peninsula, Malaysia. So it is not an isolated population, but probably a meta population where leopard cats can swim from habitats in Singapore to Malaysia and back and exchange genetic material in that way. The next pressing issue would be the threat from roadkills. Unfortunately, for leopard cats that roam out of the forest, they are basically an island within an island. When they leave the forest in Singapore, they face threats such as vehicles. And over the last 20 years, we've had records of leopard cats being killed on the roads. And every cat that's lost that way, it's a painful loss because of the small numbers.
With less than 50 leopard cats left in the wild of Singapore, you can imagine just how important it is for organisations like the Singapore Wildcat Action Group to get messages out to the public to try and reduce roadkill to the leopard cat. One of the ways SWAG engages the community in Singapore is through children, and their latest children's book focuses on the threat of roadkill.
It's called Little Tiger and the Leopard Cat, and it's the fourth in the series of books which focus on the adventures of Little Tiger and its friend, Bird. So this one is Little Tiger and the Leopard Cat is based in Singapore. And the leopard cat is almost run over by a truck and saved by Little Tiger and Bird. So, you know, we introduce the threat of roadkill to children. And we say that, you know, the message here is, could you share this with your family, your friends, people you know who buy? Can they slow down or drive really safely when you're driving around a nature reserve, nature parks? Because you see, leopard cats can get killed on the roads. There have been leopard cats killed on the roads. And then we bring out some photos that Marcus shared with us of these dead leopard cats. You know, so that's one way, our little book. And then we have a roving exhibition on the leopard cat, focused on like ecology as well as threats and challenges and what each individual can do to make a difference. I think outreach is very, very important, education outreach. So those of us who know should share. And I'm happy to say that I think in the last 20 years, many people have learned a lot more about nature and wildlife. I would say more and more people, I think, getting to know more by being outdoors, going for nature walks, which really opened my eyes to biodiversity in Singapore, which I thought was really absent. So in the last 20 years, I picked up a lot learning from other people. And I think that's very important. So I feel that those of us who love nature and know more about it are duty bound to share. And I think everybody who knows about nature in Singapore just is bursting to share about it. Hi, I'm Vilma De Rosario, and I'm co-director of the Singapore Wildcat Action Group. If you would like to know more about wildcat conservation that SWAG does, please go to swagcat.org, swagcat.org, and find out more about our campaign for leopard cats, as well as our catwalks, Citizen Action for Tigers. And if you'd like to donate towards our work, donations can also be made online at the Singapore Wildcat Action Group website. All donations will go towards the Malaysian Conservation Alliance for Tigers Community Ranger Project. If you're living in Singapore, you're visiting Singapore, look out for our Leopard Cat Quest, where we, you know, bring people to an island off Singapore and look for leopard cats. We've never seen a leopard cat during the guided nature walk, but we've seen lovely biodiversity such as the greater mouse deer, the common palm civet, and several species of frog and snake. So please do join us, and you can check this out at our SWAG store at our website. Thanks.
Thank you so much to Vilma and Marcus for their time. They are such a fantastic organization. So if you're interested in wildcat conservation, go check them out, as not only do they support the conservation of the leopard cat in Singapore and the Malayan tiger in Malaysia, they also do great outreach for wildcat conservation globally. Cats of the Wild is created by me, Andy Varvel. Theme music is by Score Squad. Other music and sound effects from Envato.